Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara here is discussing the last line of our Mishnah, which is Abba Shaul Haya Kore L'Shtuki B'Duki. That Abba Shaul used to call the Shtuki a B'Duki, indicating that there needs to be some sort of B'Dika over here. So my B'Duki, Ilema Shibudkim Etimo, what is the meaning of B'Duki over here? That we have to check out the mother. V'Omeret L'Kasher Niv'Alti Ne'emenet. And if she says that the man that I consorted with was a Kasher, she's believed. Kim'an, and that would follow the position of Rabbi Gamliel, the position of Rabbi Gamliel in the Gemara Ketubot, that says that the woman has the right to declare who she consorted with, and she is believed in that manner. Tanina chada zimna. We already have that explicitly in the Mishnah in Ketubot. It's not. Haitami uberet. We find a woman who is pregnant. Vamrula matibu shel ubarze. And we ask her, where did this baby come from? Where are you pregnant from? Amralahem miish ploni v'koeinu. She says it's from so and so, and he is a kohen. Rabbi Gamliel v'Rabbi Eliezer omrim ne'emenet. She is believed, meaning that she has ne'emanut with regards to this, and therefore she can declare the baby to be a miuchas or not a pasul. Rabbi Yoshua omer lo mipiha anu chayin. Rabbi Yoshua says that she doesn't have ne'emanut. We're not going to be bound by her statement over here because obviously she has a vested interest in saying that she was nivela to a kasher, and therefore the baby will be miyuchas. So we don't rely on her statement, whereas Rabbi Gamliel says we do rely on that statement. So what is Abba Shaul telling us that we didn't already know from that position of Rabban Gamliel in the Mishnah in Ketubot? Vam Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha ki Rabban Gamliel. And we paskan halacha like Rabban Gamliel, and therefore what is Abba Shaul adding over here? Chado l'achshir ba, v'chado l'achshir bibita. One of them is coming to teach us that she is muteret, and the other one is coming to teach us that her daughter is muteret, meaning that she is believed not only with regards to herself, that she was not nivelet the pasula, but that believability extends now to her daughter that is born, and she will also be muteret to marry a kohen or not be a psula. Mar says, anicha namanda amar, that works well according to one who says, the divya machshir ba, posel bebita, that the one who says that she is kshera, but with regards to her daughter, she does not have ne'emanut, then Abba Shaul is adding on that additional factor that she's believed with regards to her daughter, and that the Mishnah in Ketubot only teaches us that she believed with regards to herself. Along comes Abba Shaul over here and says she has believability not only for herself, but also with regards to her daughter. Elamanda amar de divrei machshir ba machshir bebita. According to the one who says there that when Rabban Gamliel says that she is believed with regards to herself, she's also believed with regards to her daughter, Abba Shaul, my atul yeshveinon. Then what is Abba Shaul adding over here that we don't already know from the core position of Rabban Gamliel? Abba Shaul, adifa mid Rabbanan Gamliel. Now Abba Shaul is adding us something more than you would have just inferred from the sheet of Rabban Gamliel. Dime hatam, if we just had the Mishnah Ketubot, that over there it's a case where the majority of people that could have possibly consorted with her were ksherim, and therefore together with that rov, she has nemanut with regards to herself and with regards to her daughter. But in an instance where the majority of people that she could have consorted with were psulim, emalo, maybe would not believe her, maybe she doesn't have the nemanut in that instance because she doesn't have the rov supporting her. So Tzricha, and that's what Abba Shaul comes along to tell us, that even in the instance of Rob Sulim, the woman still has Nemanut. Now as Tosafot points out, the Gemara in Ketubot actually brings a Braita that tells us explicitly that there is an opinion that believes that even by the case of Rob Sulim, that Rabbi Gamliel believes that she is Ne'emenet. So why doesn't the Gemara ask then, according to the one who says that the case there is Rob Sulim, what is the Chiddush of Abba Shaul? So Tosafot differentiates between what is found in the Mishnah versus what is found in the Braita. As far as what's found in the Mishnah, you can, from Rabbi Gamliel's statement, understand either that she is believed with regards to herself, or that she's believed with regards to herself and with regards to her daughter. Therefore, we have to come up with a Chiddush in Abba Shaul that extends beyond that information that you could get from the Mishnah. As far as Rob Sulim and Rob Ksherim, that's not information that is found in the Mishnah, that's only information that's found in the Braita. So if you looked at the Mishnah in isolation, you wouldn't know that information, or we'd have no opinion about that information. So that's what Abba Shaul comes to address, and there he's already bringing us a chiddush that the Mishnah was speaking about Rov Sheirim, and he's saying, I say it applies even by Rov Psulim. So yes, even though that is found in the Braita, nevertheless, from the Mishnah itself, we wouldn't have known that, and Abba Shaul is giving us that additive information with regards to the Mishnaic position of Raman Gamliel. Number Rova, Halacha ke Abba Shaul. The Halacha is like Abba Shaul, which means that the Ne'emanut here extends not only with regards to herself, but even with regards to her daughter. And when it's with regards to her daughter, it's even b'makom that there are Rov Psulim, that we believe this woman. And therefore the Halacha is like Abba Shaul in all of those circumstances, supporting that position, or the Halacha like Rabban Gamliel, but extending it even to the case of Rov Psulim. So now we have the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to make a somewhat general statement, which in the end turns out to be cryptic because we don't know what it's referring to. And that's what the Gemara is going to spend the rest of today trying to figure out. What exactly is the Mishnah saying? It says, Kol asurim lavo bikahal, mutarim lavo ze baze. Anybody who is asur to join the kahal, meaning that they're precluded from marrying into seemingly Klal Yisrael, they themselves can marry each other. So now, how is that different than what we saw already in the earlier part of the Mishnah? And that's what we have to determine. Rabbi Yehuda Oser. Rabbi Yehuda says that doesn't work. So again, depending on what you think the Tanakhama says, then Rabbi Yehuda's response will have to be explained why he is Oser. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, we can see here in the Masorah Tashas, he says that the Girsah probably should be Rabbi Elazar. Omer, Vadan bevadan mutar. If they are both Vadai problematic, then they are mutar to marry each other. Vadan bisfekan. On the other hand, if one of them is vadai problematic, and the other one is a safek, or a sfekan bivadan, or you have a safek but bivadai, usfekan bisfekan, or a safek bisafek, asur. In all those cases, then they cannot marry each other. So now, what's interesting here is Rabbi Elazar points out, vadai bivadai, mutar, safek bisafek is asur. That's understandable. But then he gives two other scenarios, which is vadai b'safek and safek b'vadai. So the question is, why do you have to give you both the pieces of that information? So obviously, if the male can't marry the female for whatever reason, meaning that there's a safek in one of them and a vadai in the other one, it shouldn't matter which way the scenario is set up. Who is the vadai and who is the safek, whether it's the male or the female, it should be irrelevant. So by saying vadai b'safek, that should be enough, versus reversing and saying safek bivadai. The only thing you could maybe suggest is that you would have a havamina, maybe to differentiate between a male and a female with regards to these issues, whether that's because the male is chayav imperia rivia, the female is not, or because the woman is not as mitzuvah with regards to yichus, with regards to like a kohen versus a kohenet. So maybe you could have thought there might be a difference. And that's why the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Elazar, emphasizes that there's no differentiation here between the male and the female, and that's why it formulates it in the both directions. Now, there is some question within this position of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, as to whether when he says that a safek is a sur bevadai, is that only a ma'ala biyuchasin midrabanan, or is that really midoraita that he says they are surim? That relates to the Gemara that we spoke about yesterday, as to whether really the safekot are mutarim midoraita, and that the isur is only an isur midrabanan. And in that way, Rabbi Elazar would not necessarily be arguing on the Tanakhama, but that creates a problem, because then what's distinct about his opinion? And therefore, there are others that believe that Rabbi Elazar believes that this isur of the safek bevadai is an isur minatorah, or isur deoraita. Ve'elohena sfekot. And what are the sfekot that we're speaking about? Shtuki asufi vikuti. So these are individuals who already mentioned our Mishnah, and these are the sfekot that we're speaking about here that have this din applicable to them. So the Gemara asks the question, which is, my kol ha'asurim lavo b'kahal. What is meant here by kol ha'asurim lavo b'kahal? If you say, ilema mamzire vinitine shtuki v'asufi, if you say all the individuals who were mentioned in our Mishnah before, who cannot come into the Gahal, like we saw in the first mission in the Perek, which is in Mamzer, a Natin, a Shtuki, and a Sufi, Hatana Le Resha. That's already mentioned in the earlier part of the Mishnah. So that's not additive in terms of the general statement here, because we already saw that all that information in the Resha. Mamzire, Benitine, Shtuki, Vasufi, Mutarim, Lavo, Zebazet. That's explicit in the first part of the Mishnah. Vitu. In addition to that, Rabbi Yehuda Oser, when Rabbi Yehuda says he is Oser, ahai, on what is he saying that? What is he saying is Asur over here? Ilema avadan bisfekan. If he's saying, no, that avadai can't marry a safeg, hamigdani seifa, the fact that the Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Lazo omer avadan bevadan mutar, avadan bisfekan, usfekan bisfekan asur, michlau, from that you would infer the Rabbi Yehuda lo sirile. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda is addressing. I mean, the fact that Rabbi Lozer addresses that mismatch between Safek and Vadai, it makes it sound like that for Rabbi Yehuda, that's not the issue that he's being Oser over here. So, from both directions, that explanation of the Mishnah is difficult. First of all, you're giving us information that was already explicit in the Reisha. Number two is, Rabbi Yehuda is Oser. What is he being Oser based on the fact that you think it's speaking about all of these psulim? If you think Rabbi Yehuda is coming to tell us that a ger cannot marry a mamzeret, mide ger b'mamzeret kitani, it doesn't say in the first part of the Mishnah that we're speaking about a ger and a mamzeret, meaning that maybe Rabbi Yehuda believes that the kahal gerim is called a kahal, and therefore a ger cannot marry a mamzeret, and that's what Rabbi Yehuda comes to be oser. That's nice, but then where is Rabbi Yehuda addressing? What is he responding to that he's saying that? If you say that he's saying, oh, a ger and a mzeret can't, midi a ger mzeret ktani, the Beisha of this mission doesn't say anything about a ger mzeret. It says, kol hasurim lavo b'kahal ktani. It has a generic statement of a kol hasurim lavo b'kahal. It has nothing about a ger or a mzeret in particular, especially a ger who is mutar lavo b'kahal is not included in that statement. So that can't be what Yehuda is coming to be Oser. So now we're going to have the first attempt, which is Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda suggests, Hachi Kamak. This is what's meant by the Mishnah, Kol HaSurim Lavo B'Kahal Kuhuna. So that anybody who is restricted from joining the Kahal of the Kohanim, Mainihu, and what is that? Gyoret B'Chuta Mibach L'Shanim V'Yom Echad Udulo K'Rabishim B'Yochai Mutarim Lavo Zeh B'Zeh. So what is being suggested here is that anybody who cannot join the Kahal Kihuna, anybody who is precluded or restricted from marrying a Kohen, those individuals can marry each other. Now, what does that add that we didn't know before? So the addition here is a Gyoret less than 3 years and 1 day, and not like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that anybody under the age of 3 years and 1 day doesn't have any din of bi'ah, and since they don't have any din of bi'ah, they can't become psulim. So therefore, if a girl converts under that age, then she has no din of being a psula because she doesn't have any din of bi'ah. That is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What the Gemara is saying is that this Mishnah does not subscribe to that position of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and believes that even under the age of 3 years and 1 day, a girl would be considered to be a psula. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us this information, which is anybody who cannot marry the Kohanim, can marry one to the other. So now the Gemara says, "V'nukma bebat shalosh shanim v'yom echad afilu Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai." What compelled you to say that the case of this mission is talking about even a girl who is under the age of 3 years and 1 day is also a surah kuna, and that's what makes them muteret lavob zebzeh? So why don't we just have it subscribe or follow that position of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and say it's only speaking about girls above the age of 3 years and 1 day, or giyoret above that age. Mar says, im kein mitzida tavro. You can see here the Orach brings an alternate girtza, which is matzmada tavro. So mitzida tavro, as Rashi notes over here, means that you have a tshuva sitting right next to it. I mean, the question is answered because the answer is so obvious, a part of the question itself. Or matzmada would be tzamud, means together or joined together, means that the answer is embedded in the question itself. Ela taima, because if you set it up that way, taima de bat shloshim v'yom echad, if you say the way that you're saying it, which is that once she's above 3 years in 1 day, that's when they're asurim to vote to the kohanim, ha pchuta mi bat shloshim v'yom echad de muteret lavo b'kahal kuhuna, a girl who is less than 3 years and 1 day, who is a gyoret, who is muteret to marry Kohen, asura lavo zebazeh, she'd be restricted from marrying these other individuals. Why would that be the case? Because if you believe, and it's clear here that the Tanakhama believes, that the cow of Gerim is lo ikre cow, that the cow of Gerim is not called a cow, and therefore a ger is allowed to marry, or a giora is allowed to marry a mamzer, and all the other psulim mentioned in our Mishnah. And that's why, if you stated 3 years in one day, and above, that is a giorit, that giorit would be precluded from the kuhuna, but muteret in a mamzer, which means that we say that the cow gerim, lo ikre kahal. So now, if you now take that to the next stage, which is, you hold like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, a girl who is 3 years in one day and under is muteret le kuhuna, that would imply that she is a surah to marry a mamzer. And why would she be a surah to marry a mamzer? Kal gerim lo ikre kahal, which means that even though she might be muteret to the kohen because she was too young when she converted, but that still doesn't preclude her from marrying the mamzer because she's still a gioret. And if she's a gioret and she's not part of the quote-unquote kahal, then she could also marry a mamzer. Hooray! Chuta mibat shloshim v'yom echad, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai du muteret lavo b'kahal kuhuna, umuteret lavo ze b'zeh. So then you have a problem because, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that girl who is less than 3 years in one day when she converted, she's muteret both to the kuhuna as well as to the mamzer, and therefore your principle falls apart. So that's why the Gemara said that the case here is even in a case of a girl who's under 3 years in one day, and not according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says that that girl is a surah kuhuna, since she's a surah kuhuna, that's what makes her muteret to the mamzer. But then the Gemara now challenges the principle or the underlying principle of the kalalahu. Is it really a principle or a general precept that we can put together the whole hasurim lavo b'kahal kuhuna, mutarim lavo ze b'ze? Anybody who's rejected from marrying a kohen then can marry all of these psulim. Barei amana v'grusha v'chalala v'zona. We have all of these individuals or women who are psulot to marry a kohen. Dasurim lavo b'kahal kuhuna. They cannot marry kohenim. V'asurim lavo ze b'ze. And they also can't marry a mamzer. Just because a woman is a grusha doesn't mean that she can go ahead and marry a mamzer. She's not allowed to marry a kohen. A kohen is precluded from marrying such a woman. But that doesn't automatically give her a heter to marry a mamzer or the other psulim mentioned in the Mishnah. And the same is true with the amanah to the kohen gadol, a chalala, or a zonah to a regular kohen. All of these women are precluded from marrying a kohen, but that doesn't make them mutarot to marry a mamzer. Bitu. In addition to that, ha mutar asur. So, if you're going to make this as a statement, then we should look at the inverse of the statement as well, which means that if you can marry a kohen, then you should be asur to marry into the kahal of psulim. V'hari ger shumutar b'kohenet. A ger is allowed to marry a kohenet, umuter b'mamzeret. And he's also allowed to marry a mamzeret. Now, the nature of this question is a little strange, because the reason a ger is mutar to marry a kohenet has nothing to do with his ability to marry a kohen. It has to do with the fact that the kohenot are not mitzuvot on the din of yichus or the isurim of all the psulim that are restricted to the kohen. So the ger's permissibility to marry the kohenet doesn't stem from the fact that he's mutar labo b'kuhuna, stems from the fact that the kohenet does not nitztava. And therefore, his being mutar b'mamzeret really doesn't show you anything about this relationship between a kohen and a mamzer with regards to individuals. So Tosafot here answers with giving a unusual scenario to explain this question, and says, "V'nira l'fereish, hare ger shenasa bat Yisrael, a ger that marries a bat Yisrael, shabat muteret l'kohen, the daughter of that relationship is muteret to the kohen, is also muteret b'mamzer, is also permitted to marry a mamzer, ki Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, like the position of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, ukiya gavna parech b'samuch." So he says the question is according to a particular opinion, which sees the ability of a daughter born to a ger that marries a bat Yisrael to marry both a kohen and a mamzer, and that's what the derivative or the narrowness of this question is. There is a bigger question asked by the Ramban in general, which is, how do you know that the inference is correct? Just because of the statement that says kosha asur is therefore mutar, meaning that anybody who's asur the kuhuna is mutar lavo be kahal psulim, how do you know that the reverse is true? The Mishnah only makes the statement in one direction. You don't necessarily have to infer that the other way is true. You could just say the other way is like this or like that, but there is no defined statement the other way. And therefore, the Ramban leaves it b'tzarech iyun as to why the Gemara asked the question in this nature, because it's not definitive proof that the klal or the principle is wrong. Where others say that the principle is giving us a global statement about who's mutar to marry the psulim. And here we find an exception to that case. We find someone else who's mutar to vote bikal psulim, even though they are mutar to vote a kohen. And that's the nature of the question over here. Now, as to how you fit this into the wording of the Mishnah, what you're going to have to say now is that the word kahal doesn't literally mean kahal Yisrael, or when you say kahal Hashem, it doesn't mean the kahal of klal Yisrael bichlal, but rather the kahal Hashem or kahal means the kohanim. And therefore, all the restrictions and the heterim that the Torah speaks about is speaking about the kahal kehuna. When someone is mutar lavol bekahal, means that they're mutar to marry into the kahal of the kohanim. When someone is asur lavol bekahal, means they're asur to vol bekahal kohanim. So we're going to narrow the definition of the word kahal over here to kahal kohanim. But there, because of these questions, the Gemara rejects this explanation of the Mishnah and says, El Amar of Natan Bar Hoshaya. So now we have a second Amora giving a shot at explaining this Mishnah, which is Achik Amar. Kosher Kohen Asur Lisad Bito. Any individual who, a Kohen, cannot marry their daughter, Umaynihu. And what's an example of that? Ger Shenasa Gioret. A ger who marries a gioret, uki Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who we just mentioned in the Tosafot, mutarim lavo bezeh bezeh. They are allowed to join the kahal of psulim, or there's no restriction from them marrying into the kahal of psulim. As Rashi notes over here, the reason the Gemara says that the case, or the extra isur that was added over here has to do with a ger that married a gioret, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, is because the other alternative is not plausible, which is, you can't set it up as a case where it's a ger that married an Israelit. That you can't set it up. The man shmaitle damar kohen asur lisab bito. Who is the one who says that a kohen cannot marry the daughter of a ger that marries a Israelit? That is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Then we have a problem now, because if the seifa is Rabbi Yehuda, then certainly the reisha is not the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, the Gemara sets it up like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that the daughter that is restricted from marrying the Kohen is a case of a ger marrying a gioret, and not a case is where it's a ger marrying a Yisraelit, because that's shita Rabbi Yehuda, and obviously that can't be the shita of the Tanakhama if Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue on that shita. So therefore, the test, or the litmus test, to know whether you can marry into the Kalab Sulim, has to do with the daughter born of this relationship. If the daughter born of this relationship can marry the Kohen, then they are Asurim, Lavo, Bekal, Psulim. On the other hand, if the Kohen cannot marry the daughter, then that individual is Mutar, Tavo, Bekal, Psulim. Bekalohu, so the Gemara again here challenges this principle and says, the Chok Shel Kohen Asur Lisad Bito, Mutarim, Lavo, Zeh Bezeh. Is it really true that any Kohen who cannot marry the daughter of this individual, then they are mutar to join the Kal Psulim? Harei Chalal, Shenasa Bat Yisrael. In a case where you have a Chalal, a Kohen Chalal that marries a Bat Yisrael, the Kohen Asur Lisad Bito, the Kohen cannot marry the daughter because the daughter is a Chalala. Vasurim Nami Lavo Zebazeh. But a Chalala has no permissibility to marry a Mamzer or any of the other Psulim. So that principle doesn't stand. Lokasha, no, over here it's Rabbi Dostai ben Yehuda, who we've seen a number of times, and we'll see in the Mishnayot coming up. Rabbi Dostai ben Yehuda says that the Bat Israel are a mikveh tahara, the chalalim. When if a chalal marries a Bat Israel, the daughter that is born does not carry the stigma of being a chalala, and therefore their daughter is mutar the kohen. If that's the case, you would solve your problem. Now, because the Bat Israel that marries a Chalal, their daughter is Mutar the Kohen. If it's Mutar the Kohen, then the parents are restricted from marrying into the Kal Psulim. Vare, Chalal Shenasa Chalala. Wait a minute, what about the case where both parents are Chalalim? You have a Kohen Chalal, and you have a Chalala. The Kohen Asur Lisad Bito. Obviously the Kohen is restricted from marrying their daughter, because their daughter is a Chalala. Vasur Nami Lavo Zebezeh. And those individuals, the Chalal and Chalala, do not have permissibility to join the Kal Psulim, to marry a Mamzer or any of the other Psulim mentioned in our Mishnah. Vitu. And the same question that we asked before. Ha Mutar Asur. The inverse question, or the inverse cloud that would come out of this, means that if the Kohen is Mutar to marry this daughter, thence they are asur to join the Gaal Psulim, Bariger, Shenasa Bat Israel. If you have a convert that marries a Bat Israel, Kohen Mutar Lisa Bito, a Kohen is permitted to marry the daughter of that marriage, Umutarim Lavo Zebezet. And the Ger also has a din that they can marry the Psulim, because the Kal Gerim Lo Yikre Kahal, but because the Ger married a Bat Israel, the daughter is considered to be Ksheira the Kihuna. So over here you have a daughter who's Ksheira the Kihuna, but the parent who's a Ger is also Mutar Lavo Bekal, so it does not comply with the principle that we just set up. So that's another rejection. The truth is here that the Gemara could have asked from Grusha and the Chalutza as well, similar to what we said in the previous case with a Grusha and a Chalutza, which is in a case where a Kohen marries a Grusha and a Chalutza, or a Kohen Gadol marries an Amana, the daughter born of that relationship is restricted from marrying the Kohen. Nevertheless, the mother is not permitted to marry into the Gahal of the Psulim. So that would also be a rejection of the statement. Some want to say that the Gemara didn't ask from that because those are marriages of Isur, and we're not talking about marriages of Isur, we're only talking about marriages of Heter. Or you can just assume the Gemara had enough proof against this position already. So now it moves on to the next. El Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua. So now we have the third Amoraic attempt to explain the Mishnah. This is Hacha Mamzer Me'achoto, Hu Mamzer Me'eshet Ish, Ika Benayhu. The Machloket, or what is being discussed here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, is the question of a mamzer that derives from achoto versus a mamzer that derives from eshet ish. The way that Rashi explains it is that a mamzer that comes from achoto is a mamzer that it derives from a chiyuv karet or an isur karet, and a mamzer me eshet ish is a mamzer that derives from a chiyuv mitat beitin. And that's the machloket. Tanakama savar afilu mamzer mi achoto nami havi mamzer. That the Tanakama believes that a mamzer is produced both from chiyuve karet, like achoto, as well as chiyuve mitat beiten, like eshet ish. Both of them are called mamzerim, and therefore they are mutarim to marry each other because they are both full-fledged mamzerim. Rabbi Yehuda savar, meshet ish havi mamzer, meachoto lo havi mamzer. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that from an eshet ish, meaning from chiyuve mitat beiten, then you do have a din of mamzer, whereas from achuto, which is a chiyuv mitat karet, there you do not have a mamzer that's produced, and therefore they can't marry each other, because one is a mamzer, and one is not a mamzer. The Tosfos doesn't love this explanation of Rashi, and he says that the kol ha-surim here doesn't mean all those that are mamzerim, but rather kol ha-surim means anyone who is produced from a relationship where kedushin are not tovsin. So that anywhere we have kedushin not tovsin, which is both by the case of chiyuve karet as well as chiyuve mitat beitin, that results in a mamzer. And all of those mamzerim can marry each other. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is oser and says, no, that's not the case. You can't make a general statement about anywhere where there's kedushin not tovsin, because there is a differentiation between chiyuve mitat karet and chiyuve mitat beitin. Gemara says about that, Maika Mashmalan. What is that teaching us? Tanina, we already have this, or Tanina Chadazimna, we already have this mission explicitly. Ezu mamzer. Who is considered to be mamzer? Kol shehu below yavo, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Anybody who has a restriction against getting married, meaning that any chiyuve lav would be producing a mamzer, that's the shita of Rabbi Akiva that we've seen many times. Shimon ha-teimani omer, kosh chalvim alav karet bidei shamayim. Shimon ha-Temani says that anyone who your chayav karet, the marriage would result in a punishment of karet, that is what produces a mamzer. Obviously, koshikain chiyuve mitat beitin. Valocha kidrach barav. And alocha is like Shimon ha-Temani, as we've noted before. Rabbi Yeshua Amer, koshikhayav in alav mitat beitin. Anybody who has a chiyuv mitat beitin, that produces a mamzer. But chiyuve mitat karet do not produce a mamzer. So now, the question is not really a question as to why would you state this information, because over here we have new players in the Machloket. We have Rabbi Yehuda, who we don't see in the other Mishnah. So why wouldn't you bring another Mishnah or another piece of information and tell us Rabbi Yehuda argues? The main gist of the question is, Rashi notes over here, is the fact that we have a Mishnah that already has this Machloket. If you're going to have Rabbi Yehuda be a part of that Machloket, put him in the Mishnah that has that core Machloket in it. Why would you bring Rabbi Yehuda and this Tanakhama over here speaking about the same machloket separately in a different Mishnah. So the question is not on the Mishnah itself, but rather a question on Rabbi. Why would Rabbi put together two Mishnayot that are speaking about the same information and not give you all the information in a single location? So that makes it difficult to say that that's the explanation of our Mishnah. Elohama Rova, Rova comes up with a fourth explanation for the Mishnah. Ker amuni umavi ikaben ayu. The difference between the Tanakhama here and Rabbi Yehuda revolves around the ger amuni umavi. V'hachi kamar. Kol asirim levo bakal. Anybody who is restricted from joining the cow, my nihu, who is restricted from joining the cow, that's a ger amuni umavi. Mutarim levo ze beze. They can marry each other, or they can marry into the cow psulim. It says, yachi, my Rabbi Yehuda is there. Why would Rabbi Yehuda say that there's a problem with this? Hachi kamar. Afa pi Rabbi Yehuda oser ger b'mamzeret, even though Rabbi Yehuda says that a ger may not marry a mamzeret because a ger does have a kahal or shame kahal, and therefore a ger is restricted from marrying a mamzeret, hani mile ger deroi levo b'kahal. That's only true about the kahal gerim, who are a kahal who eventually will join or be a part of Klal Yisrael. Av a ger amoni u'mavi, dein roim levo b'kahal, but a ger amoni u'mavi who are permanently precluded from joining Klal Yisrael, lo, they would not be included in that restriction of being a part of the kahal, and therefore they are allowed to marry a mamzer mamzeret. And as Rashi notes over here, Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to argue on the Tanakhama, but rather Rabbi Yehuda is the Tanakhama, and he's coming to explain or further explain the position of the Tanakhama, which is that this ger amoni umavi, who is permitted to marry a mamzeret, is because they are not considered to be a kahal. Even though in other instances of gerim, they are considered to be a kahal, which would preclude them from marrying a mamzeret, nevertheless, the amoni amavi are the exception to the rule because they will never become ra'oi to come into Klal Yisrael completely, and therefore they don't gain the shame of kahal Hashem, and that's what allows them to marry a mamzeret. Okay, we're going to stop here, five lines from the bottom of Ayin Dalid Amud Bet.